Yeah, when we spend all the money on the roof and the windows and all this, we breathe a sigh of relief and say, good, we're good. And then we got the whole seat fiasco taken care of. It's like, we're good. Well, no, we're not. There's a lot more.
Yes, there is.
The comment period ends on the 18th of July.
Okay.
Yeah, we know.
Which thing that is.
Right at the beginning. Well, we've already talked about it.
Well, I saw that meeting coming with Riverton.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Okay. So they
yeah, let's talk. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Kristen here.
She's on the phone outside.
Okay. Well, let's just give her a minute. I'm sure she's going to finish as soon as she can. Well, it does say direction requested. Is there anything we should be doing today with what we just heard?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, the priority one and two type projects that you saw today are included in the capital plan for fiscal year 20. And so as we, you know, approve those projects and so forth, or if council would like to see changes before we get to that point, that type of information and feedback would be helpful. Otherwise, we'll assume full steam ahead and try to get the repairs made.
Comments, questions? Ken?
I'm not sure if I agree with the back fencing as a priority two. I could see it as a priority three or four, but I just don't feel that security fence there is as important as I think maybe some of others.
Other comments, Steve?
Well, I do see that as a priority back there. I think it should be done and put up there. It only makes sense. I think you look at a lot of the venues in other areas where you have, there is a staging area, and generally they are fenced off to secure you. So I think that should be a priority.
I agree with Councilman Creel. I think you go anywhere else, you're going to see those areas fenced.
Is Brad still here?
Thank you.
Oh, I have a question.
John? Does the lack of security or fencing back there have any, I guess, weight on Macs that want to come?
That was my question.
That's a great question. The only place that was ever that make or break was the time we rented fencing, you know, and so that was where they said, nope, you got to have it. Otherwise, what it is trade-off. It's like, well, we don't have that back area fence, but instead of having one security person, we'll have three that'll be milling around that area to make sure that your equipment and stuff is secure. But do keep in mind, you know, if they come in the night before and leave like a day later, we have to maintain that security for, you know, 3 days.
And so,
yeah.
But I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, but the acts have a way of evaluating facilities and know what is there and what isn't, and they could simply not even look at us if we don't have something they really think is important.
Yeah, they could. And Brad, I guess the question was, have we ever had an act basically turn us down because we don't have the backlog fenced or something like that, or we just kind of always get
them? We make it work. I mean, like for food fires, we had to bring in fencing and make sure we had it available.
Mike?
We already had it up there for Elton John and Mary Church.
Yeah. Mayor, I think we need to stay focused on the fact that with items like that security, that's not just what some act is going to require, but it's the duty of security that we owe, the duty to provide a safe, protected place for everybody that comes here to work, or to see a performance of any kind or anything. And all that it takes is one guy back there wandering around that knows how to act like he belongs and knows how to kind of fit in. and everything, and he walks in there and, you know, starts shooting or doing something, and then everybody runs around, oh my goodness, we should have done something. I think that we need to keep that aspect of security very clearly in our mind, too.
And I think just to add to what's being said here is that it's not necessarily, we're not just necessarily fencing it off for acts that come here. It's fenced off, and that's going to be a secure portion of this building, too. So it's just another barrier or, you know, a stopgap for people being able to get into the back of this building. So I'm all for it.
Ken?
So what we're saying is, to a point, putting up a fence is going to relieve our 2 to 3 security people from that. That's going to protect from anybody getting to their equipment is what it is. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying I don't feel that it's a priority 1 or 2 compared to some of the other things that we saw around here. But what I'm saying is I think you're still going to have the security. You're going to have to. Even with a fence in, because somebody's going to try to get through the fence, come across the fence, do whatever it is, you're still going to need the security there. In my opinion, I think it's a lot of money to invest in right now when we haven't lost acts. We haven't had those situations as much as, you know, as often as it sounds. They had to do a fence one time. Once in 3 years. Are we losing acts? I think it is an important 3 or 4. I just don't think it's a priority to 1 or 2.
Tim, what's the total of priority 1 and 2, if you could give us a rough estimate?
I probably just have to add it up on the memo, but I'm rough. I would say it's probably about $1 million.
And how much is the fence?
$45,000.
I can't agree that it's a lot of money when you're looking at that much money. I mean, not that I want to spend money on things we don't need, but relative to the other things that we're facing here, it's one of the smaller items. I don't know. I guess we should just thumbs up for changing the priority for the fence. Did you still want to?
Okay. Yep.
I think we're going to leave it the way it is then. Any other items that people have concerns about, Bob?
Not necessarily about this. I fully agree with this. We've already been down this road and gotten, you know, the information we needed. But one of the things I am kind of concerned about, it seems to me we spent quite a bit of money on lighting fairly recently on the building. And I just wonder what, like, I don't think these are the most efficient lights. And the other thing, do we have a standby shot? And if so, how much of the load can it carry?
I don't have an answer.
I think I can handle half of that. Maybe the last part. You're probably gonna. We both might struggle on that. But the LED project you have allocated money for, and if you recall, that project was the mid '90s. That has already kind of went underway, if you will. What we were looking for was additional monies off of some of the projects that we kind of itched to get the lighting done, and that's why we put the utility costs on that kind of fact sheet that you have, because the electricity will be greatly reduced when we put the LED lights in the arena floor area. And that is the only place that we're looking at doing it this time, but eventually you might see us come with, you know, as the priorities shake out, to replace everything within the structure, because you're absolutely correct.
Well, there's programs, a power company might participate with us on some of that, and that might be really helpful. Right. The other thing we might want to look at is load management. And have load shedding, and I'm pretty sure our equipment doesn't have the ability to do load management. So that might be something we might want to look at from an engineering standpoint in the future.
You're 100% correct, Councilman. We do not have that. Yeah. In Rocky Mountain Power, we are working with them. The consultant that is doing the design work for the LED project, part of the scope of work that we had them do was exactly what you're talking about, which is working with Rocky Mountain Power to identify incentives in areas that we can increase our incentives that kind of pay for the project itself.
Thumbs up for city staff to move forward with the event center plans. Okay. thank you all for, I know there was some preparation. It's good to see it. So we're just able to put our eyes on it. Okay. Fair enough. I hesitate to do this, but we need to talk a little bit about last Tuesday. So now, my reasoning, maybe I didn't explain my reasoning very well, but my reasoning for changing the drill was not to shut down public comment, was not to place people, members of the public, at a disadvantage. It was really to reduce the likelihood that we were engaging in a debate with someone at the podium. And I've never seen a debate with someone at the podium end well. I've never had somebody say, oh, okay, I agree with you now. It's never happened. It's always ended in just people being upset. And I think it it detracts from, in my opinion, it has detracted from our ability to conduct our business. And so the intent was not so that we had the last word so much, but so that we could systematically address some of the questions and concerns that were raised without simply ignoring them, which has happened all too often in the past, where someone would come with a legitimate question and we would never really give them a good answer or give them the reasoning behind what we had done. So that was the idea. And you know, obviously we had a kind of a tense moment, and then I've been second guessing myself since Tuesday of how I should have managed that differently. But that was the thinking behind it. And it, quite frankly, it's my opinion that if someone wants to engage in a debate with members of council, there's a way that they can do that. They can wait for a position to be up for election. They can put their name in and run for election and win a seat on the council. That's how you get yourself in a position where you can have a debate with members of council. That's my opinion. But I'm certainly interested in other people's opinions. I think, though, that from this point forward, and Ray and Mike, you did put me in a tough spot there for a minute. And I do think that it would have been much more appropriate for you to address your remarks to me rather than directly to the people in the audience that had made their remarks. So, go ahead.
Yeah, if I might. And I agree with every single thing that you said, Charlie. All that I, you know, it seems to me that those guys have a persecution complex. They think that the police department singled them out for some reason and has treated them more harshly, differently, made them measure up to requirements that no one else has ever had to done, had to do. I was just trying to assure them that no, that's not the case. Obviously, they were not in the mood to hear that reassurance. And yes, I was addressing it to them, like I say, that, you know, talking into those my voice just carries differently, and that did not turn out the way that I intended it or wanted it to. You know, maybe my tone was wrong, and you know, maybe they just didn't want to hear what I was saying or something. And so, yes, but I think that you're absolutely right. It's like I said, you know, all my years of being a judge, you know, when you're sitting up there and somebody's down there, you have a power dynamic over them, and it is incredibly unfair to not, you know, now there are times when you have to sit there and say, no, this is how the cow's going to chew the cabbage, but you're absolutely right about the debate dynamic doesn't work there.
Right.
Well, I'll say I apologize for putting you in a tough spot. I know as mayor has put in a tough spot many times with several of the council members, and it is tough. And so unfortunately, it goes with the territory of being mayor. And so I apologize for that. But what I don't apologize for, standing up to Paul Papp for calling us idiots and many other things, he was walking away. And I certainly do not believe that when you sit there and you're being called an idiot, that you stand by that. And so it had about enough Paul Papp doing that. And so, on the second part of it is that I had received a really nice text from Paul apologizing to me and apologizing the way that was handled. And so I think that that's been laid to rest, and I plan on meeting with him and sitting and chatting with him a little bit. but it's my initial conversation to start during that time was not to directly go after Paul or anything, but he started yelling when I was starting to make my comments, and so that blame does not rest solely on one person, but Paul certainly knows what he did and knows that he had made some mistakes on that.
And I don't want this to take up too much time in the meeting, but did you want to say something, Steve?
Well, the only thing I wanted to add to that is right in the very beginning, when you start your comments on every meeting, you always tell people you no personal attacks upon city staff, council members, anything else. So the moment that somebody's stepping out of line, it needs to be shut down there, and they need to be removed from the podium or told to leave the podium. They're done. And I think that we would do away with a lot of these problems when you have people do exactly what Paul did 2 weeks in a row of coming up there, and the moment they start spouting off and attacking staff members, then they're done.
I think it's a gray area, because I think people should have the right to come to the podium and criticize our actions and question our policies, or just say that they think we've made a mistake.
You're right. They should be able to do that in a civil manner. You can't come up there and call us idiots or say that you need to start firing this guy or firing that gal.
Okay.
You need to come up in a constructive manner. If you can't do that, then go to the manager's office during the week and sit down and talk to him.
Okay. I'm sure I think you're thinking on this spot. It's not easy, as those of you who have done it know. It's like trying to hurt cats sometimes, but the age of civil discourse is behind us. When people go out and can say anything they want online to anybody they want to say it to, and there's no check and balance there. And so our check is basically to say, thank you for your comments, I'll take that under consideration. That's about all we can do. You know, it's what you say about never seeing an argument won or a mind changed by people coming up and do that. That is probably true, but some people come up and make some good points, and I have seen that change mine. I've changed mine on certain issues that came up because I didn't understand their position, and that does happen. And I think that will continue.
Or they have convinced us that we need to study something, and it ends up on a work session agenda, and it wouldn't have happened if they hadn't come to the podium and given their pitch. And I've seen that happen a number of times. So I want public comment to be useful. I want people to feel comfortable coming up to the podium. I understand what you're saying, Steve, that there have to be some rules and some limits. But I'm kind of a free speech guy. I'm a little more likely to, I guess, tolerate things and simply say thank you for your comment. But because using the gavel is not something you want to do as a mayor. And so, Ken?
I like us to go back to the original way, because it did exactly that. It gave them a chance to speak, answer questions. And I know we give them a chance to answer questions, but I think it's has taken away from them, and I've said it numerous of times about that. I had something else. But anyway, I just think we need to go back to the way it was. We as council need to conduct ourselves. If they get in a debate with us, we need to shut it down. We need to reframe from addressing, if we know that it's a hot topic, we just need to back off as council, as the professionals, as it goes through. That's our job. They have the right to come up and kind of free speech, as you said, not attack attack us directly or our city staff members. I disagree with that, and I agree with Steve with what he said, but we as council need to conduct ourselves.
Well, it was just a trial, and so I'm always going to go with the will of the majority. And if it's a failed experiment, we'll just not do that anymore.
I don't think it's a failed experiment. I think we just need to kind of keep those things in mind. I will confess that most things I'm kind of thick-skinned. I'm very thin-skinned when people start saying, oh, you're a judge and so you think you know everything. Because I have always been tried really hard to be very careful to set, you know, to set those things aside. And I will confess that I am thin-skinned when it comes to people saying that. But I'd like to keep going with the way that you're trying to do this.
Well, and if we do, I am going to insist that comments from council members also be addressed to me, as we are requiring the public to address their comments to me, so that we're not engaging people in a debate where they may feel intimidated or criticized or humiliated in some way. So, Ray?
I'm fine with staying the standard of doing what we're doing, but I think that we have to. I disagree that. I believe in free speech. I get it, but I don't believe that people have the right to come and say things to the point that shreds our character, that comes after us. And I think we need to. I'll call a point of order every time somebody does that, because we're still human beings. We still have feelings, and just because we're city council members, our hope is that we rise above that as well. I agree. But I'm asking you as the mayor, if that goes that way and things like that happens, instead of us doing that, then I'm hoping that you'll call someone out to be like, stop, do not sit there and disparage our chief or whoever else it is, because I don't think anybody has that right to just destroy someone's character right in front of everybody. I mean, I just think that we're human, we have feelings. It does not mean we're not, just because we're city council members or because we're public service, you know, part of that, we still have feelings, and I think that needs to be held accountable too.
And you guys need to know, I mean, you should know this, I'm not sensitive. If you see that someone crossing that line and I don't, then all you have to do is say, point of order, Your Honor, I think we've had a speaker cross the line and we're into attack territory, and I believe this person's comment should be ended or stopped. And I will probably agree with you, because, you know, you're probably right if that's what you see. Well, how you would like to go back?
Is I do, and it's I understand where you were going with it, but you know, when if I'm a speaker and I come up and I ask a question and then I just get a okay, thank you. I mean, then I'm like, well, what about my question? What's the answer to my question? And then you answer at the end, and then if I have a question of you or another comment, I can't make that. So to them, their perception is, we don't want to hear it. We got your question, and we'll get to you when we get to you. I do think there are some comments in some situations where they do warrant an answer right there, and they should have the right to respond.
I actually agree with Sean. I guess the only thing too is, so say we were doing the comment and you allowed them to come up and they were directing to you, and then, so perfect example, and I know that I've not always been professional on these, say it's somebody discussing like the audit or something accounting or something along those lines, and I do get heated. It's like the only thing that I know, so I can. But the point being is, if they're directing the comments to you, then you're turning to me, then you're directing it back, then it almost just turns into a situation of, well, she can't really handle herself, so we have to put a mediator. I know that's not the intention, but I think it might be kind of come across that way. Like that they couldn't specifically address any of us.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll go with the will of the majority. I think we've got, it's kind of mixed. And we certainly could stop after each speaker and say, does anybody want to respond? But we have had people come to the podium and sort of challenge us with a question or a rhetorical question and insist on all the council members stating an opinion about something, and we're just not going to do that.
Just tell them no.
So I don't know. Thumbs up for abandoning this experiment and going back to just commenting as any council member chooses to. You guys, 4, Well, that's we're deadlocked.
No, sorry.
Ray's got
his thumb up.
You're wanting to go back to the original way we did things? All right, so then we'll go ahead, and after each speaker, I'll look around and say, does anybody have anything any comments they want to make? And then we'll move on. But I will, again, I encourage you all to avoid debating people. I think we're able to answer questions without getting into this debate territory. So then we will change the agenda and leave that council comment period off the agenda then. Okay?
Let me one more. The gentleman, Paul, right?
Yes.
He did also, I just want to say that he did call me personally and apologize as well for his behavior, and I thought that was admirable of him to try to get in contact with several people and apologize for it. So,
and before we leave this, Mr. Henley, are you at some point going to be able to give us an update on the discrepancy that he believes was present between the event policy and the parade policy?
I'd be happy to. And if you'd like me to have that, what I was thinking would be some of it may involve legal opinions, like maybe just sending out a letter would be my preference. The legal stuff from that attorney client, and then maybe just do a memo to go broader.
Okay. And he did want us to reimburse him. Is there anybody who have appetite for that?
Nope.
I see one thumbs up. I'd like to see the evidence that he's right before I would even consider that, but yes.
Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I want you to know we've made it clear to that organization on more than one occasion, probably three by now, that indeed community promotions is a very viable option for that organization, and that if they just take those steps to make application, you'll get the opportunity to potentially participate in helping with those fees as well. So that would be for next year, of course, not something in retro, if you will, but we'll continue to encourage them to participate in community promotions.
Okay. Any other comments on our drill?
Just one question. I mentioned to you the other day, Charlie. I didn't look at my insurance for my car or when I had motorcycles, but you have to have insurance on your vehicle in order to get a plate. And I don't know what the clauses might be in your personal insurance when you're driving on a city street in a parade. And the question would be, is your insurance card for your car effective in being in a parade? And I honestly don't know.
Well, and not to kill an already dead horse, but the problem is they're sitting there saying, well, each one of these people have their own insurance. That does not protect the city or their group. If somebody comes along and says, I was injured not because this person on their motorcycle was negligent and hurt me, but because you were negligent in the way that you put your the event together, and the city was negligent in the way that it supervised this and everything, and they need to read Cody Country Chamber of Commerce, that case, because if they are an unincorporated association, and if they're not adequately insured, and somebody gets hurt, and somebody files a big lawsuit, each member and each participant that's in there, you can start going, okay, I want you and you and you and you and you until I get all of my damages paid.
Was that the gunfight?
Yes. Yeah. And so really the city was doing them and their group a huge favor by requiring that. But, say, I think they don't seem to want to hear those things.
Okay. I think we need to move on. Any other comments about how we're running the meetings? Okay. All right, let's move on to pool fees then.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this is an opportunity, I think, to save some time in the meeting and so on. We really just wanted to inform you with regard to actions that we felt like council had, at least ostensibly and theoretically, supported with regard to the passage of the business plan as it relates to aquatics and so forth. We did raise the Mike Cedar pool fees by 50 cents, which We anticipate will generate revenue somewhere in the neighborhood of $10,000. But we also have carried on for a second year the waiver of pool fees over at Marion Kreiner, and anticipate doing so from now on, unless council directs us otherwise, which, as you know, and have heard before, that we anticipate that revenue shortage to be about $3,500. So I will tell you that that's been very popular, the no-fee situation over at Marion Kreiner. We've had I'd say huge increase in usage over there, threefold. And that really surprised me. I honestly didn't expect that, but it's very popular and working well. One thing that I'd like to plant in your minds, just as a seed of thought, with regard to potentially considering for the next budget year as it relates to aquatics in general. As you know, aquatics carries a fairly significant subsidy requirement. And of course, it's not a free operation by any means. However, you also know that 1% helps bear some of that burden. I think it's to the tune of $325,000, if I remember correctly. I would ask that you at least consider, for, again, passage perhaps in the next budget, that indeed 1% play a larger role. Because, as you know, that savings of $325,000, if you will, that's supported by 1%, actually supports the general fund pretty heavily in that regard. And if you'd like to see additional programs move forward as it relates to, say, some of the other pools or whatever, then maybe your tolerance for seeing 1% support a greater role in the aquatics operations may be in order. And so, as we've talked before, you suggested, particularly during our council goals discussion, that looking for ways for 1% to perhaps help the general fund be supported, and of course we talked about various possibilities and so on. This might be one of those chances. And so as you contemplate that idea and see this summer play out and see the activities at the aquatics and so on, if you'd give that some thought, maybe we can take this discussion up again in March and see where you're at.
Comments? Questions? Okay. Is that all we need to do?
I think so. Yes, sir.
And everyone's fine with free at Marion Kreiner, I assume. Okay, it's worked out great. And now with the splash pad there, I think that's just going to be a real center of activity for
very popular.
That entire area.
Very popular.
Okay. M Street Alley Access.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we've included a couple of exhibits in your packet that we won't be able to replicate on the screen tonight. But if I could draw your attention to the second exhibit that looks like this, at least the second in my packet. The issue at hand is basically this. M Street, which is that sort of northern alley looking portion of the map type exhibit here, is not technically a street. And in fact, the street actually continues into the river, to be technical. M Street is not along the axis of that alley type configuration. The other consideration that we have at play here is that along the and I'm doing air quotes here, M Street corridor, we see a diversity of ownership as well. That big green rectangle there, you can see, consumes a lot of that M Street alley area. That's because that would identify the ownership of that property owner into the M Street corridor. Consequently, we have set up barricades, delineators, whatever you want to call them, pursuant to the property ownership along that corridor. And accordingly, as you might guess, that has caused some consternation with respect to some of the neighbors in the area. More particularly, neighbors down towards the southern portion of the Washington Street area there as you get towards K Street. The other dynamic at play here is that the darker green property owned by Mr. Gamble also has some ownership into the M Street corridor, albeit not near as much as you would see for the light green ownership parcel. Therefore, as you can see on the picture to the right of the map aerial here, if you were to look at the portion of pictures here entitled North Washington looking east, you can see Mr. Gamble's fence coming out into the M Street corridor, that alley, very much appropriately so, in that his corner does come into that alley. And so that is his. He has erected his fence with our knowledge, with our discussion and everything, and it absolutely is on his property. That has made access into that corridor very, very tight. And accordingly, we cannot get a sanitation truck back through there. The other problem that we see as well is that if you were to look a little further north of that picture that we have, sort of outside of that frame, if you will, that riverbank drops off right about there. And so we've put up delineator posts along that sort of drop off as well, so we don't see cars kind of going around those signs and you know, risking their safety and dropping a tire off the edge or anything like that. So that is now very constricted and actually appropriately so, because those are the appropriate ownerships. If you want to look at the lower picture there where it says North Elma looking west, that's an example of the delineators sort of following the property ownership of that light green parcel adjacent to Elma and the M Street corridor. And so accordingly, it really isn't appropriate for our vehicles, sanitation trucks, etc., to be accessing that corridor, because technically it's accessing someone else's private property. The question before the council is whether or not we want to see any of these dynamics change. And you know, I suspect that there may be some opportunities to deal with some of those dynamics. I don't suspect that those dynamics will come without a price. I think they will if we were to manage them differently. I think that the North Washington looking east dynamic is not going to change, regardless of what we would like to do. I've talked to that property owner quite a bit. And frankly, that property owner, in contrast to the southern property owners, likes how the situation is right now. So it's a little complex, not typical to what we deal with, particularly as it relates to some of these alleys and alley access and that sort of thing. But nonetheless, we do have those delineators right where those property lines are. And from a public access standpoint, the public is accessing those areas in the manner that they should be. So my question tonight is, would council like us to do anything different? And if so, what would that be?
Bob, then Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I guess when we did this, because we didn't know that little corner that had the dark green and the bright red for city and Mr. forgot his name, but
yeah.
we didn't remember or didn't know that we were encroaching on his property. And as a result of that, the first swash, I guess, or the first try at this, we just cut off the alley at K Street and cut off the alley at M Street. And that, I think, seriously disadvantaged those people along that use the alley access between Elm and Washington. And I guess what I propose is that we go back and talk to the church, and at least maybe least costly case would be a permanent access to use the portion of their property that's right under the label that says East M Street. And I understand from the original discussions, they were willing to discuss the issue with us. I don't know that we ever got down to brass tacks in terms of dollars.
Right.
The other thing that comes up is the properties you see in the middle of the east side of Washington Street, three of those properties, well, actually four of those properties in the center of the block, I believe are R3 or R4, something like that. And, you know, that's housing we need. And right now, the middle two are abandoned, I think. At least they're not being used, as far as I know, for apartments due to other issues. But when you do that, they already have, and you can't quite see it in the picture we have here, but they already have a central point in the alley to put their trash. And they have done that for years. And that really is the problem for the other people, specifically Mrs. Phillips, that they have used that alley for years. And granted, we didn't know we were going across other people's property. But I guess I'd like to see council at least take a shot of dealing with the, at least a church property, so we'd have a reasonable chance of trucks servicing that alley, whether it's our trucks or whether it's utility trucks.
And Bob, where is Mrs. Phillips' property?
Mrs. Phillips' property is the first, come by from K Street. I believe it's the third property, and it's got a red roof.
Okay. Between Washington and...
It's either that one or the one to
the alley.
The south of it, I can't remember where it's from.
Okay.
And but that I really hesitate to use a, to lose a useful alley. I personally really value an alley, and I know that new properties are not built with alleys, and that's simply a matter of construction cost.
Okay.
But when you've got one, I guess I'd really like to see us pursue, at least try and make some kind of deal on it.
Mike?
Two questions. These North Elma looking west, the city installed those delineator posts.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And then the my color distinguishing abilities is a little tough. That 7,367 square foot lot there, does that belong to the city or to Angeline Arch or?
City.
That's the city's? Okay. Okay, that's all I wanted.
Okay, other opinions on whether we should ask Carter to pursue negotiations? Is that really what this is trying to see if we should either purchase or get an easement on what is East, in quotes, M Street between Elma and the alley? Is that really what we're talking about?
That's basically what we're talking about,
Ken?
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
I brought up before, just word of mouth, that there was an issue down there that the fire department had to be called on, I do believe, Washington Street. And when the trucks were trying to get out of there, it made it very difficult for them. And I guess I refer to the fire chief, if you know if that was an issue, is it an issue to get, if there was a fire constructed on Washington, north of Washington Street on the map here, I don't know if you have what we have, but that area right there, is it an issue for the fire trucks or firemen to, or even ambulance to get in there, do what they need, but then when they need to leave, is that a problematic for them?
Mayor.
Yes, Chief, please.
Certainly, just looking at this, I'm not aware of a specific incident, I guess, the first part of your question. Secondly, you know, certainly any kind of a lengthy cul-de-sac or dead end is going to be obviously considered in our response. As far as getting in, as far as getting out, we can back out, but certainly that's why we do like to have 2 points of access for really any neighborhood area. So, but I'm not familiar with any specific incidents.
So, I guess my question or my thought is on that Washington is, it looks like we own a corner of that property. The 14,320 square foot, we own a portion of that. Is there a way to make a loop for whether it's a garbage truck, whether it's a car, whether it's the fire department? I don't know if they can access that other street there and come out on North Jackson necessarily, but I'm just wondering, would it be a way, since that's city property, to make a loop for them to pull up, turn around, and come back down Washington? Just a thought.
Mr. Mayor, do you mind if I
ask?
Councilman Bates, are you talking about going like that?
Right. Is that still accessible?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, what Councilman Bates is asking is whether or not this type of access is available to fire personnel or sanitation personnel or whatever. And I would tell you that getting through here is not really an issue. Getting through here, maybe, I'm not sure of the lay of the land right through here, but going through here and creating a new loop is never going to be possible again.
No, right.
But yes. So I would say, short answer, yes. Probably here we need a little more inspection necessary.
Or what I'm even suggesting is, we own this property right here. Mm-hmm. If they came up, can they just loop? Can we make that big enough to make?
I think there's possibilities for that, but it depends on the vehicle.
If I might, Mr. Mayor, if I understand the legend, that 14,509 square foot property is county.
Right.
County has been, in the past, they have been pretty willing to give us property at a reasonable rate, as I recall. So that might help on that side, because the city does have the 33,050 square feet directly underneath it. So that might be a possibility, I think.
Does Mr. Gamble have some interest in the property we own directly north of his?
Mr. Mayor, he would love to get that property, yes.
And it would not have any function for us if...
We would lose that altogether if we
sold it. But we've already lost it because we can't really... There is no corridor there. Kristen?
There is function for us in the facet of river restoration. So we would potentially lose our ability to include that in a restoration project.
Yeah, you're correct. Okay. Will of council. What do people want to do?
Like Carter, let him negotiate.
We would like to have East M Street, in quotes, between the alley and Elma Street, be an actual street.
The alley eastward. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And we would turn that into an actual street. Okay. Instead of a pathway.
I guess the biggest question that I would have leaving it at that is the cost of what it's going to cost us to do that, and does the cost of purchasing that land to have the street through there outweigh the cost of potentially putting rollout cans for these people? Because really, what do you need the alley for except for picking up trash and possibly utilities, but utility trucks for the amount of times they're going to have to go down that alley are going to be minimal. So I'd really like to see what that number comes back before, and then kind of weigh the cost. I mean, if you're going to end up not purchasing and you have have something else in place that's going to be reoccurring, then it just doesn't make sense to me to do that. It makes more sense to buy a bunch of rollout cans and change the way that we collect trash.
Carter, in your discussions with the Imitate the Image, does it sound like they're going to want a whole bunch of money, or are they going to want $50 or $5,000?
You'd do a land swap, wouldn't you? Look at that.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I think we have a lot of options that we can discuss. I don't get the impression that he's wanting to get rich off of that little piece of land. I think he'd be willing to work with us. Absolutely.
Even if they just granted an easement,
we could potentially do that too. You bet. We've got a lot of options.
I'd like to see Carter just proceed and talk to those guys.
One other quick item. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If we do that, we also could have the potential, if the county would work with us and we would get something done with the church, whether it was an easement or purchase, we'd end up with two running blocks of river frontage there.
Right.
And that has been a huge issue for river restoration. We need to own the property on the river in order to do river restoration.
Good point.
So in the long run, and that's what I'm looking at here, is long run, I think it's good if we would own that property.
Makes sense to me. So I think, is everybody okay with Carter continuing these discussions? And then you'll let us know, and of course we'd have to go into executive session then at that point, I assume, when you have something that you want to propose to us. So.
You bet.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Any other comments on that? Let's talk. Let's go on to training tool for police department.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, you've gotten a little bit of a sneak preview here as to what potentially the chief is proposing here. Before I defer time to the chief here, this does represent, in my opinion, a really interesting and intriguing means of training our officers. Not only do we have the opportunity to train our officers, but we also have the opportunity to train partnering agencies as well, and potentially other agencies throughout the state, if indeed council's comfortable with us moving forward with this certification and obtaining this training tool, the majority of which you see laying out on the tables here in this image. I would tell you that the price that we're suggesting would be needed to make this happen, if I remember correctly, is in the neighborhood of $86,000 to $90,000. I've been looking at dollars and cents and so forth with Mr. Pitlick, and there is a sliver of money that we're anticipating being carried over in an unencumbered balance of about $100,000, $130,000, that effectively is a residual balance in the general fund over and above what council authorized by way of funding the general fund reserves as well as funding the one-time payments. So after all that's done, the residual dollars left over is just over $100,000 and would likely be consumed by the price of this regimen if council decides to move forward. So that money is there. The question is whether or not you like this enough to dedicate those funds to make this happen. So with that, Mr. Mayor, if I could turn time over to the chief, please.
Mayor, council, I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. Beginning at the First World Trade Center bombing, we as a nation learned that we needed to really kind of look at how we responded to critical incidents. And so out of those discussions originated the ICS, the Incident Command System, and the NIMS system, the National Incident Management System. Those are primarily designed to handle large-scale events that take place over long periods of time. Think some of the major fires that we've had here. And so with all of the training for now a couple decades has really been looking at those large-scale operations. How does a local municipality respond to that? What kind of got lost in the mix was the initial first responders. How do they arrive on the scene of that first initial incident, whether it's a man-made event, a natural disaster, a criminal, a crime-related event, and how do they contain that event and minimize it as it tries to advance through our community? This training regimen system that you see before you today is designed specifically to address that, not just for supervisors. It's for every member of my department. It's applicable to the fire department, to the ambulance people. It is designed to give them the skills where they very systematically contain incidents, get a handle on them before they continue to grow into our community. To get us to the point where now we can, after we've contained it, we've taken care of that initial response, now we can activate that incident command system and the National Incident Management System. So the thing that you're seeing here, the $86,000 should take your breath away. Very rare is going to be the time that Chief Solberg or I are going to come to you and say, I have a training thing I want to spend $90,000 on. But I need you to understand that this is getting something that we're going to be able to use for 30 years. The board that you see there in front of you is more than 25 years old. The license that is being held by the gentleman right here, he's had that license for 15 years. And so this is a long-term investment, which I'm going to be able to then turn around and continue to use as a one-time investment. But it comes with the license for us to be able to now train through the entire region of Wyoming and surrounding areas to bring those officers in, charge tuition for that, and to begin to recover these costs over time. So this is a 25 to 30 year investment. So basically speaking, of the $86,000, roughly $25,000 of it is to purchase this. And this is not a good view of it, but it has hospitals, it has schools, it has apartment buildings, restaurants, airport, refinery, an abandoned factory, dilapidated areas, residential areas. It's got city parks. It's got all the things that we have in Casper. Roughly $5,000 of it is to purchase the equipment by which we could store it and transport it and take this on the road if we wanted to take it to Cheyenne and conduct training there. I've already been in negotiations with Warren, and they've indicated that they would willingly pay the tuition for their member agencies to be trained in this. So I almost have a guaranteed revenue system coming in on that. Sergeant Wheeler, we're filming Sergeant Wheeler during his most recent sergeant's assessment. This will be the third time that he's been exposed to this, and the first two times I was present for it. The system forces you to take this systemic and systematic approach. The first time I watched Sergeant Wheeler go, his skin was bright red. His blood pressure was up. You could just see how, you know, he was just lost. This is the result of after the training has occurred, his performance during the assessment.
All units, 20 years in command. 22, Montana, Howard Johnson's male subject, chest shoulder, minor bleeding, seen secure.
Step 4 radio to 20, copy.
I copy.
Step 4 medical.
Step 4.
20, this is radio.
20, go ahead.
To establish a hot zone of the pizza to the west and to the east of the back of the entrance.
Step 4, all units, hot zone of the pizza shop on the west side of the building and east side of the building.
Saw was Sergeant Wheeler just calmly going about establishing perimeters around this event. What you don't see is as the other facilitator is reaching in, he's adding crowds, spectators, he's adding media people. And what you saw was Sergeant Wheeler just calmly going about doing his job to contain that. This is a very effective system. It's a 30-year investment. I believe that by the time it's done, we will have paid for it just in the tuition that we're going to bring in. But it fills the necessary gap of the training that right now our supervisors and our street personnel are doing through experience. This has worked for me in the past, rather than taking a systematic approach to responding and containing that initial critical incident. I would hope that you would see the value in this. I have 20 plus years of experience with it. It's designed for everybody in my department to get it. And when everybody has been trained in it, you hear it happening even before they've arrived on scene. You hear the first responding officers, the ones that are getting there first, they're establishing those critical steps. The sergeant, who may still be 12 miles away and 10 minutes away, is managing it over the radio. Once everybody just gets trained on it, it just flows so smooth. It saves time, it saves lives. Questions?
Questions for Chief Mike?
I would, having been through a multiple of tabletop exercises like this over the years with the fire department, every single thing that the chief just told you is true, and I think Chief Solberg would say the same thing. I think this would be a great thing for the city to invest in, and especially if it fits into your training budget, this is something that this is where you think we should be spending money. I'm all for it. These tabletops are great.
I tried to rush through that one-third of that. So if you looked at the cost of the table, the second part of the cost is for them to come out and train our people, the initial train us, train the trainers. The third part of it is the licensing agreement by which this becomes our territory. No other agency gets to bring this in and start charging tuition for it. So there's a licensing fee, that one-time fee. That's the thing that allows us to use their name, their credentials, their expert witnesses, as we take care of this stuff. That's the licensing fees. I'm asking you to look at it as a 30-year investment.
Okay.
Bob? Yeah, I fully concur. I think this is a great thing. The one thing I'd really like to do is find a permanent home here so we can bring other people into Casper and fill up hotel rooms and train people.
Absolutely. Ken?
This is going to sound actually kind of bad, but bear with me. The tabletop aspect, and I could be wrong, maybe somebody technological, more advanced than me could tell me, but seems like this is kind of old school compared to, and you said a 30-year investment, but with the way technology is moving and how fast it's moving and the opportunities that technology is showing, that you could put on a screen the exact same thing, all in 3D, like they do to build homes, or look at where they're going to build homes in 3D, and you could do the exact same thing. So I guess is to pack up a table top like this and move it from place to place, is there, I guess, computer technology out there that makes this old school and you could do it more with on computer and do the whole thing more efficiently on that? And that would, to me, that would just be more of a 30-year investment because we're moving with the technology. But I don't know if that's there yet.
So let me address it as best as I can. You know, first of all, it's, you know, until you see this in action, it's hard to fathom how it burns it into the memory of the people that are undergoing it, exactly how to go about this, because it's happening right in front of them. I'm absolutely certain the technology is going to come along that would allow us to do this digitally, but for the time being, the guy that has trademarked the system, the steps, the critical steps, this is the product, and this is what it is. Despite the advances in technology, the training is as true today and as spot on today as when I went through it 23 years ago. It is still as accurate today. If Sergeant Wheeler or Sergeant Baker, two of the recent products of this training, if they were here today, they would tell you, oh my gosh, I wish I had this years ago. I've actually listened to one of those sergeants now on the radio, listening to him as he now manages that critical incident. It works. So the technology's there, but I cannot replicate the feelings that are come when those guys, those two facilitators, are making that thing, because you missed a critical step, they're just making it painful for you. And it does. It makes their heart race, makes their blood pressure go up, makes their breathing get, you know, their voice starts cracking. I can't replicate that in any other environment than through this, and it is highly effective. It teaches them, this is the stuff you got to do, and you got to do it quick.
Okay. Carter?
Mr. Mayor, to add on to what the Chief is suggesting with regard to a very good question by Councilman Bates, I would suspect that the incremental savings that you might gain by purchasing a software package of a similar mission would probably need to be purchased again and again and again every 3 to 5 years. And so the advantage I think that something like this has, which is admittedly somewhat old school, is you don't have to worry about maintenance and support, you don't have to worry about updates and those software packages no longer being updatable or maintainable, thereby requiring you to buy another package that might be $25,000 or more in 3 to 5 years. And so from that standpoint, I do think this is more of a one-time investment that we can reap benefits from for years to come.
Steve?
I guess my question is for both of you. Is this license specific for the police department?
This will be the city of Casper.
The entire city. So then the fire department would utilize this?
Mayor, Councilmember, certainly there's crossover between, obviously, as you know, police and fire operations. There are a little bit of differences as far as terminology and things like that for the various incidents, but certainly it would be available for all of us to utilize.
Right. I guess let me rephrase that. So this is compatible, though, to be able to utilize this system in the fire service itself. It's not specific to the
trademark for BOMAC is a little bit different than what we've used through incident command structure in the fire service, and even through our variation of NIMS that we use for Type 4 and 5 incidents. But there is crossover in use that we can use for CASPER, specific to CASPER.
Mayor, if I could just interject, Chief Solberg's at a disadvantage. He's not as familiar with this. He's very familiar with the things that he's been working with for establishing joint command operations and things like this. It is something that we can train both of our entities to become accustomed to. That's how we do business, rather than the afterthought of 30 minutes later, hey, maybe we ought to establish a joint command. Both of our people would be thinking of that right off the bat, as an example.
And I think what I'm asking, though, is the license itself. I think you answered that by saying it'd be a City of CASPER license. My concern was if it's under the PD as a license, but yet you had a use for it, would we have to pay for two licenses is kind of the point that I was getting to. So if it can be used across the board, City has it, then.
Bob?
I think people might underestimate the use of simulation. Boeing is having a little problem with that. That was one of the main reasons that they didn't want to have to put this system out there. They didn't want the pilot to have to be trained, and they wanted to avoid some of the costs of simulators. And I've had the opportunity to be in an A321 simulator and fly the airplane in a simulator. It is absolutely real. There is nothing there that doesn't feel real. And so I think, just don't underestimate the use of simulators. NASA has been doing this for years, and hands-on is much better than wearing a TV glass, believe me.
Any other comments? Questions for Chief? Thumbs up for moving forward. My question, Carter, is this seems almost like an infrastructure investment to me, since it has long-term impact. And we are anticipating some unallocated general fund monies, but I believe we're also anticipating some unallocated 1 cent monies. Did you consider 1 cent as an option for this instead of general fund?
Mr. Mayor, that absolutely, in my opinion, is applicable, particularly given the public's direction that public safety was of one of the highest priorities that they identified this last go-round. So that's... Mm-hmm.
Did you consider that as a funding mechanism?
I didn't, but the money is there from a residual balance standpoint, and we could certainly do that.
Because it would help us get our reserves back where we want them in the general fund. Chief?
I just wanted to point out, Council, this is before you because I truly believed I was going to get grant funding for this. We didn't, for those purposes, we did not include it in our FY20 budget. I believed in my heart that we had a solid packet that would be awarded. It was not awarded, and so I'm trying to play catch up.
Sure, understood. So it would give us a little boost to our
yes, sir.
Plan to build our reserves up to 120 days if we could use 1 cent monies versus the general fund. And we haven't had a discussion yet of what that unallocated amount might be, but when do you think we'll know for fiscal year 20?
Mr. Mayor, we are probably 95% certain that council will see a balance after funding the general fund reserve and after funding the one-time payments to the employees of a number in the neighborhood of $130,000.
Which would pay for this.
Which would easily pay for this. But indeed, if council would like us to go a 1% route, there are dollars available in 1% as well. There's also some dollars available in your Fund 30 area, which is your capital fund. Historically, that's been populated with non-1% dollars, but has been used for capital kinds of projects and applications. So you've got a couple options.
And we pretty much spent unallocated 1 cent 13, 14, and 15 on Midwest, if I remember correctly. There isn't much left in those.
15 is your last, Mr. Mayor, residual 1% fund, and I want to say there's 400,000 there, unencumbered at this point.
And were we kind of tentatively thinking about that as helping us finish Midwest all the way to Poplar, if that money was there? I can't remember the conversation.
That certainly could be a use.
Yes. Any opinions on how we should fund this? It seems like most people want to move forward with the chief's request. Best way to pay for it?
Let's use somebody else's money.
We tried that already. We got turned down.
Yeah, that's, didn't quite work. Yeah.
Bob?
I don't really have any strong opinions. It sounds like we can cover it a number of different ways, but you know, from our point of view and what we tell the public, what we use 1% for is basically capital needs. This is a really relatively small piece of capital, but I have no problem with using 1% money for this.
Okay.
And besides that, I really think it has some potential to be a revenue generator. Really,
I mean, we buy cars that have a 5-6 year lifespan. Here's something with a 30-year lifespan. Seems like appropriate long-term investment. And I personally would like to see that general fund reserve up to where it should be as soon as possible. And this would be a way to get another $90,000 banked rather than spend it on this. It will give us fewer options when we look at the unallocated, because that unallocated 1 cent money will be less by this amount. So priority one and priority two, or priority two projects really will be affected by that. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. As far as there will be less money to spend on priority two projects.
I think that's a fair statement, Mr. Mayor.
Would you like direction from council now as far as which way you'd like they would like you to go?
I'd be thrilled to take it. You bet.
So we would be talking about unallocated 1 cent numbers, 16 monies that were collected over the past year and exceeded the amount projected.
Mr. Mayor, I'd say probably the best thing to do would be to look at 15 versus 16.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's there.
Is everyone okay with Ken?
I agree with everything. I'm just wondering if we should give city manager time to... You threw out a lot of options to pay for it, to give him just a little bit of time to actually double-check numbers, look at that, and then bring it back to us, just his recommendation regarding it, is my thought.
Chief, when do we have to have the money available for you?
Mayor, council, not trying to manufacture urgency. The urgency was we hoped to have funding for it. We didn't get that funding. We had residuals from this year. That was the original intent of bringing it to council. The only timetable that I have is I have an impending sergeant's assessment that we would have liked to have used it for. That's the only artificial timetable. Other than that, you know, I'm willing to work with the city manager.
Okay. Carter, do you need time to?
I can bring you a recommendation Tuesday night.
Okay.
Pre-meeting.
So everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Okay, moving on to agenda. By the way, I will be gone on the 16th, and hope you will be here, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Yes.
So we were planning the agenda for the 23rd of July. So once again, take comment from council on items of particular interest, priorities as far as how we spend our time. Let's start with, wait, back up. Do we have new agenda items that need to be added to our proposed work session agenda items? John?
I had a CACVB meeting today, and I know they were wanting to get on a work session, but they don't have a date certain yet. So I told her that we would put it on our list without it, just kind of have a hangout there until she's ready.
Okay.
To come to us with what she wants to come to us with.
Is everyone okay with adding CACDB? Or visit Casper, I think.
Yeah,
now
visit Casper. Yeah.
Okay, it looks like that gets on the list. Anything else people want to get on the list of proposed agenda item topics? I met with the people who run the 211 program, which is essentially an information program that anyone can dial into with pretty much any kind of problem and get some information about how to get a referral or get information or get options if they need housing or if they need counseling services. And they would really like to come visit with us and explain what the 211 process is. And it might be a way for us to publicize that service so that more people are aware of it. If you're all okay with us putting that on as a potential topic, okay? I'm sorry, Bob?
Yeah, I just had a question. I had a call from some folks the other day. I'm not even sure I remember the program, but it was from, they wanted to do something in conjunction with the Veteran Museum. It was, oh, I know what it was. It was the US OSHA. So I just told them, call you guys, and they want to come and be involved and maybe make a presentation. But if you haven't heard from them, I guess that's up to them.
Yeah, I got a call from Larry, too, Larry Steenslin. And so, yeah.
I don't think it's anything to really have to worry about putting on the agenda. They just want to come and talk to us. And I suggest that he come to a regular meeting and talk to them.
Okay. Okay, sure. We did watch one of the Wham videos. I would like to plow through a few more if we have time. We watched the ethics and conflict, and they're all pretty brief. I think you all have a list somewhere, but I'll just run through a couple of these. Guidelines for the conduct of elected officials, legal framework for municipal governments, open meetings law, Public Records Act. These are all specific training videos that could launch us into a useful discussion of things we need to be aware of. So anyone have an appetite for putting one of those on, Steve?
It's open meetings.
Okay. Everybody be okay with that?
That'd be good.
Okay. Okay. So we can add that to the to-do list, and now we get to decide what we want to talk about on the 23rd, which is essentially an open agenda right now.
There are two highlighted things from the staff, the class and compensation study scope and the finance policies resolution. Oh, I'm sorry, and one more. Interactive long-range transportation plan update.
Oh, I've got a long version. Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you. Any idea how much time you're going to need if we put those three on there, Carter?
Mr. Mayor, I suspect that finance policies resolution discussion would be 20 minutes. The interactive long-range plan, probably 30, and the class and comp study. I'd say that would be 20 minutes as well, easily.
Okay, so we're a little over an hour.
Yep.
Anything else?
Sounds good.
At some point we wanted we talked with Mr. Henley about getting us started with the ethics, the code of ethics. And so you indicated last time, John, that you could do that anytime, is that correct?
Correct.
That would be probably a little more extended discussion, maybe a half hour or so, I would guess.
I think so.
How would y'all feel about putting that on the agenda for the 23rd? Then we would have an hour and 40 minutes total. Okay, is everyone okay with that? Okay. I think that probably will give us enough, unless somebody has a desire to have a longer meeting.
Mr. Mayor, do you mind, one of the things I'd like to bring to council's attention and get some feedback on is with regard to a benefit discussion as it relates to sick time and that kind of thing. Maybe the 23rd would be a good time to talk about that. Maybe it can wait, whatever you'd prefer, but I would like to get in front of council this summer, if at all possible, and have that conversation, particularly as it relates to the potential that we might be facing as we may be migrating to the state's health plan.
Well, we're talking about compensation.
Yeah.
On the 23rd.
Can add that
okay. Well, why don't you do a little homework and see how much time you think you're needing. If you think you can do it justice, don't want to stay here for 3 hours, but it looks like we only have an hour 40.
Okay.
So, okay.
Thank you.
All right, we'll leave that as a possibility then.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Ken?
I know I keep bringing up sore subjects, stirring up hornet's nests, and I apologize, but one that I've talked to that is a continuing talk about that people are not happy throughout the city is the speed limit by the hospital or after the hospital, McKinley to Park Street, I do believe it is. That's been a ongoing conversation I've had with, I cannot tell you how many. So to throw one here to talk about changing that possibly, I'd like to see if council would be willing to discuss that one again.
I mean, obviously at this point we're just discussing putting on the proposed items, but I want to make sure that when we schedule it that we have enough time to get data on accidents and things of that nature, since that was the prefacing discussion.
Well, if we decide to revisit it again is the question. So.
Right.
I drove it the other day. It took me 30 seconds longer than it would have if I was driving 30 miles an hour. That's.
I think it's unloaded 2nd Street a little bit, put it on 1st Street.
Yep.
Which is good.
Appetite for revisiting the 20 mile an hour speed limit change we made? 1, 2, 3.
There's 4.
I think it might be a little bit soon to get any data from.
Maybe
at
the end of the summer?
We can put it on the list.
That's all I'm asking. It's right. Just to be put on the list.
All right,
not
I'll go with that, and then we'll just collect some data and see. It's just, I think it's just a getting used to thing. But
Mr. Mayor, I kind of actually like to have a little bit broader discussion about speed limits around town. For instance, one that always has troubled me is 13th Street west of Locust and east of the Little League ballparks there, where it's 30 miles an hour along there. And all that's on the north side of the street is the golf course, and then you know, there are streets on the south side, and I think there are possibly some other locations around town that maybe we should talk about. I'm not saying that we absolutely have to make changes or anything, but just to talk about and look at.
How would it be if we did this? We'll just put speed limits on there as a potential agenda item. When that time comes up, the onus will be on each of us to identify areas that they'd like to hear about. And then we'll give that to Mr. Beamer and the chief, and we can kind of see if there's some legitimate reason to change any of these speed limits. And we'll maybe have some accident data on those areas. And so we'll just put that on as a potential topic. And that would include, of course, the area you're talking about. Okay. All right. We're at mid-year, and I'd like to find some functional way to get some feedback from all of you on how I've done running meetings and representing the city. And I'm not sure, maybe this is a question for you, Mr. Henley, is there a way for us to do that without having all of that feedback be a matter of public record? Or do you feel like that would have to be... I'd like people to be candid. And not feel like they have to screen what they say if they have concerns or.
Yeah, let me think about it. I would say typically you would want to have that be part of the public record. It would be part of the public record. As far as some type of an evaluation, let me just take a look at the statutes and see if that falls for any kind of personnel type of.
And if it has to be, it has to be. But we all know that when people know that their comments are going to be public, they're going to say things differently than maybe they would if they knew it was going to be confidential. And so, and really be just make sure that if there's some things, and not just for myself, but for whoever succeeds me, to just get some feedback on how to do this the right way and make course corrections in midstream if need be. So
Just get a suggestion box and we'll write it down for you.
Perfect. So I'll figure out a way to do that. We'll talk. Why don't you think about it, Mr. Anlians? We'll see if there's a way for us to do that, so that I can get some good feedback from people. And then just a reminder that I'm still planning on hosting a barbecue for council sometime in August, and we'll start talking about dates in early July. See what kind of days would work for everyone. So, let's see. Any undone business? Oh, I have tickets for the Boys and Girls Club breakfast in August 28th. If anybody would like one, would you like two of those? Okay. Anybody else? Two for.
Thank you.
May need to ask them for some more. I don't know if other people. Nobody else right now? Okay. I know I'm going because I get to read a proclamation. So. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Let's go around and. Let's just go around. Ken?
just to throw on there, I've talked to a couple, just two guys that were ride motorcycles. And they say when they are coming down the hill by Casper Motorsports, I can't remember, like if you were headed to the fairgrounds on CY there in Casper Motorsport, that when they pull up on their bikes individually, the light will not change. And so they'll wait two or three where the light should have changed, and they're just going because it's not recognizing them. So if we could take a look at that, they would greatly appreciate it because they don't want to. One of them really indicated they don't like breaking the law, but they can't just sit there forever either.
So there's like a sensor there.
I'm assuming they flash. They said that they flash their lights. This is two different guys. They flash their lights. Nothing takes place. It's more censored for cars than it is for any bike. So if we could look at that, I'd appreciate that. The only other one that I have is about the lines being painted throughout the city. I've saw a few areas are. I'm just wondering where we're more at with that, with the different street lines. And I can ask for specific areas, but I know some people have complained that they're having a hard time seeing when they go around certain corners or even just seeing them.
Okay. And you guys can look into that sensor business, Carter.
Mr. Mayor, kind of working in reverse order, we'd be happy to provide a striping report in this week's information packet so you can see where we've been and where we plan to go and that kind of thing. I really like new striping and yellow curves. I love it. Love it. So we're working very steadily in that regard. But as far as that CY, did you list a cross street? I think I missed it.
It's
Pheasant, I think. Pheasant.
CY and Pheasant? Okay.
It's a Pheasant. Okay. I didn't know what.
It's the one that comes right down the hill from the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. CY and Pheasant. We will work with the state on that. You bet.
Anything else?
No. That's it.
Chris?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Wow.
Crossroads, ball field, the scoreboards on 2 and 3, I guess, don't work at all. Is there a way of looking at that to see what the cost would be to get them up and running?
There used to be an incentive in place for the umpires to use the scoreboards because it's kind of their option. And, it's always good when they do that. So.
I have one more, and I apologize for jumping out of order. I apologize. Casper Housing Authority is looking for, if anybody knows, and I'm hoping maybe you might know, Councilman Huber, the East and West Ballpark by Frontier Middle School, did that have an original name? Was there a specific name for those ballparks or that one ballpark.
That's where Station 3 is now.
Yeah. That where that fields were. So if anybody,
those were just the little league ball fields.
Okay, a lot of people just knew it as East and West Field, but I was just wondering if anybody knew or get back to me that it did have an original name. So that's it.
Okay. Where were we? Anything else, Steve?
No.
Sean?
Well, since we have the media here, just to dispel, there's the rumor going around on social media that the city of Casper is looking at banning pit bulls.
Yes, I saw that.
And there was even protest marches organized and everything else.
Yes.
And so I just want to say that we are not interested in banning any specific breed of dog. It was never a conversation we had. I think there was a misinterpretation of a news article that came out from a citizen that spoke at the last meeting. So
people used to do their gossiping in the laundromat, and now they do it on Facebook, which is what I think of Facebook and social media.
That's all I wanted to say.
I smell
yeah. Just something I want to mention to all of you. I attended the BLM open house on the Monita Divide gas play that is being planned near Monita. And Shoshone and Riverton have been watching, Enlander have been watching this development very carefully. It's a big deal. Atheon and Burlington have properties north of Monita, and the long-range plan is to build 4,250 wells.
Sure.
And they have four different plans in place. One is to not permit any of this development, but the other three basically involve drilling these wells with different mixes of directional drilling versus straight drilling straight down to the gas. And bringing this up because as we studied the impact of the wind development north of Douglas, I came to understand that Casper gets affected when these major plays go on, because there's only so many places for people to live in towns the size of Riverton and certainly Shoshone. And there are people that just want to live in a larger area with more amenities. And so over the span of this development, there will be a large workforce in play as this drilling takes place, and there will be a smaller group of employees that will essentially be pulling the gas out after the drilling has been done. And a lot of those people are going to end up living in Casper. And it's going to have an impact on all of the services that we provide. And so there's a legitimate argument to be made, much as we did in the wind energy project, that Casper should receive some compensation for all of these impacts on us. And so I believe we should be commenting and basically making a case that we will be affected. And it's unfair for all of us as citizens of Casper to have to take on that additional burden for a company that is essentially making money off of these resources and using our roads and our law enforcement and our hospitals and other things that become impacts for us. And so I'm hoping you all agree with me that we should please make our case that some of these impacts will be essentially unmitigated and should be compensated. So, pretty big deal. And regardless of what you think about, these plays, it's going to happen. And this gas development project is going to be a major impact on Central Iowa. So, let's see. What else do I have? DDA met, and there's no major events. Obviously, they're focused completely on what's going on with the Davis Street Station and making sure that it's functional and plenty of things going on there, and that seems to be the case. So if there isn't anything else, I think we'll...
On the same topic, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that oil and gas is covered by the
It is not. They are exempted.
They're not in that group.
Which is why, yeah. Which is why you have to make a case, and there's no legal obligation for them to do anything. But I did discuss with the company representatives, and they sort of said, "Well, I guess we can understand that. Why don't you make your case with us?" So who knows? May as well try. Okay, I think we're done, aren't we?
Yep.
Oh, I visited the Science Zone. I encourage you to go down there. It is a really cool place.
It's like a Catholic mass. I did tell that group that the chief is the one that came up with the pit bull banning idea. They're all going to come down and debate us at the podium and ask for your resignation.
Why not? Why not?
Yes. Yeah, 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 let's do it.
You mentioned, well, first of all, let me say the panic pitfalls and what was it about them, but that's the first that I heard of it. I assume it came from the guy who brought his wife up, who was a male with the least one.
So, which, of course, that's what we're going to do. So.
Oh, of course.
Social media is like the telephone.
It is.
You know?
Well, it was just that everything is. And if you read the article, it's not saying. It just. Yeah, I think it just references the two that came up to the podium and spoke about how they thought.
As soon as you said it, as soon as you were looking
at it, exactly. Oh, no. City Council trying to find the pit bulls. I'm like, what? Did I miss that conversation?
So the second you did it, I knew exactly what you were thinking. I was like, just a second.
Okay. No, a
it's a basic,
to the AA, where the AA meetings are or something.
Yeah, no.
The rescue mission or something.
Kind of like a suicide prevention, all that kind
of shit. You're on a cancer.
No, I'm just trying. But yeah, so hopefully they'll come up and tell us about it.
I
got
I thought that was pretty clever.
I just
hate
the way it's
just because
I don't know.